You know, every once in a while you'll have a God moment. And the Lord just shows up, speaks to your heart, ministers to you, and reminds you how blessed you are. And this has been one of those times. And to Jack, thank you. To Chris, thank you. To our wonderful instrumentalists, Sam, Wayne, thank you all. Such a blessing. I'm so glad God has let me be a part of the Calvary family. And you all are such a blessing. I want to say thank you for your phone calls this week, for your cards that you sent, and the phone calls that you've made to check on Sweetie and me. I don't know what it was about this week, but Liz and I both have fallen apart. You know, she's getting older, and we got over our heads, didn't we? She had her pacemaker battery replaced this week. Now she's recharged for the next 7 years. Hopefully, at least that long. And I had both eyes operated on, so you, I start saying, you look better than ever. I'm still trying to figure out how to use readers. And so, if you see me reach in my pocket, pull out one, you know I've got still that small print. Anybody testify? Let me invite you to look with me, please, to two passages that are listed in your worship guide, your worship your bulletin this morning. One of them is very familiar, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 9 and verses 8 through 11, really. And I want us to think about this morning, and that's simply entitled, Heaven's Family Reunion. I am confident of this truth, that if we ever get a hold of the things that are yet to come in the life of the believer, things that God has promised He's going to do for us, the things He's promised to provide for us, we'd be beside ourselves with joy and ecstasy. We'd be beside ourselves with the desire to serve God and magnify the Lord. Well, that's what the disciples came after their encounter with Jesus, after He transformed their lives. And on one occasion, they were called before the officials for their fervent preaching of the gospel. And they were asked, the disciples were asked, why do you do this? They responded, we can't help. But we can't help this year because we've seen the risen Lord, the resurrected Christ. We'll never, ever be the same. It's now 40 days after the resurrection. And Jesus has gathered His disciples on a hill, and He's about to go home. We talked about that last Sunday, and Jesus went home. But now He comes and shares with them a final word of admonition. We call it the Great Commission, and then He shares with them a wonderful truth of coming. And the angels remind us of the wonderful truth that was pictured in their minds forever. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice verses 9 and following, please. And when He had spoken these things while in hell, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. This is one of our primary passages last Sunday morning. And while they looked steadfast unto heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven.
Amen.
And they returned that day to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, about one half to three quarters of a mile. Heaven's Family Reunion strikes a chord. That title strikes a chord in my heart because some of my most wonderful memories of a child growing up were of family reunions in Hartsville, Alabama. Anybody know where Hartsville, Alabama is? Well, it's not far from where I grew up in Lacey Spring, Alabama, near Huntsville. But I remember those times as a boy when I'd grow up and you'd see cousins. And some of you had family reunions like this. You see cousins and family members you hadn't seen in maybe almost a whole year. And you get a chance to see your grandparents and your aunts and your uncles. And I miss those days because you say as you grow older, those family unions become fewer and fewer in many cases. And in all cases, the people that were the dominant people, the grandparents and the aunts and uncles and the cousins and the friends and the family that minister to you and bless you as you're growing up are no longer there because the Lord's called them home. The early church experienced that same thing. They were asking questions about what happens when the people that we love, who have given their hearts to Jesus and they've left this world, what happens? And so as a part of that, our Lord responds with the wonderful promises that we're going to look at this morning in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, in writing to the church of Thessalonica, is writing in part to answer that question. What about those that have already gone on before? And Paul reminds them that there's going to be a great and glorious homecoming, family reunion day for the child of God. But ladies and gentlemen, if it ever really dawned on us and occurred to us, the majesty of that day, you'll see those grandparents who gave their hearts and lives to Jesus again. Amen. You'll see those cousins. You'll see that. I've got two brothers in glory. Mm-hmm. And I've got grandparents there and parents that are there and friends and family. Every once in a while, I'll just get in one of those melancholy moods and say, Lord, you know how much I miss so-and-so. We'll go to the cemetery, Linda and I went a few weeks before Easter, as we always do, where our parents are buried, where Linda's brother and his wife are buried. We put flowers in the grave and we stand there and sometimes we laugh about things that happened when we were growing up. We laughed about when I gave my brother-in-law, who was a big cut-up, he's a big guy, I'm little compared to him, he's a big guy, and he's always carefree and cutting up. And on Christmas, we had them over to our house here in Millington. And I forget whether it's me or whether it's his wife. One of us gave him a pair of roller blades. Now, folks, let me tell you, one of the things, if you're over 20 and you're over 300 pounds, either one of those, you don't need a pair of roller blades. And of all the memories I have in life, I remember him putting on those little roller blades. And he couldn't stand still. The blades weren't going which way. And so somebody thoughtfully gave him a broom. A broom. Not to sleep, but just to hold out, hold him to the ground, and to have a cane to keep his feet and fly out from under him. And one of the funniest sights I ever saw was when he just went sailing through the air on those roller blades. A lot of memories. I want to tell you, the Lord goes deeper than just that to minister to us and funny things, but lighthearted things. But He reminds us in the Word of God. I had the privilege of knowing that my daddy had given his heart and Lord, life to the Lord. I had the joy of leading my mother to Christ and my brother, my older brother, my younger brother to Christ. And I know that one of these days I'll see them. Had a grandfather who loved the Lord Jesus and a grandmother who loved Him. And I have the great assurance and many, many, many more that I'll see you again one great and glorious day in heaven's family reunion. Now, the words in the Bible are admonishing us to, therefore, in light of that, that's what Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica. There are some things that we need to do in light of the truths that are revealed to us here. Verse 14 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. For if we believe, that's the King James Version, and that the word if is a word that could be translated since. For since we believe, or because. Maybe your version has the word because there. For if, or since, and because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now listen to this. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Have you ever thought about that? When our Lord returns in the clouds of glory, He is going to bring the saints of God with Him that have gone on before us. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Another word for that is precede, or go before those which are asleep. Now let me pause here. The Bible doesn't teach soul sleep. This is just an analogy, a figure. If someone has passed away, they appear to be asleep. And so Paul uses that imagery. The coming of the Lord shall not precede or go ahead of those that have already passed away and go home to be with the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them. There's the reunion part. And with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says in verse 18, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. For the next few moments, I just want you to think with me about the significance of heaven's family reunion, that great and glorious day. There's a great day coming. The songwriter said a long time ago, great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saint and the sinner shall be parted to right and left. Lord, I'm waiting for that day to come. And it's going to be a great and glorious day for the child of God to see. Not only is Jesus returning, we'll see him visibly and literally and physically. We'll be witnesses of that great event. But he's bringing with him all those in Christ who've already gone before us. And so because of that, heaven's family reunion has a number of reasons why it's so significant. One of them is because it is a time of great anticipation. I want you just maybe circle that word on your outline this morning, or however you want to note it. A great day of great anticipation. Folks, there's nothing that will stir this community. We were talking this morning as people started coming into Sunday school. Our world's gotten such a mess. But there's nothing wrong. There's no crime problem that's so bad. There's no economic situation that is so out of hand that an old-fashioned heaven-sent revival wouldn't fix.
Amen.
Amen.
Right early. And God showed up, in fact, I was in the doctor's office, and I was delighted to have a nurse that loved Jesus, and she was on fire for the Lord. And I don't remember how we got started talking about the Lord, but she said, I will tell you something, Pastor. Jesus is not coming. She all got a little in her voice. Jesus is not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over.
Yeah.
So when you think about heaven's family reunion, there's going to be a great day coming. When the Lord shows up, it's going to be a time of reunion for the saints of God. They have great anticipation. The Bible calls it the blessed hope and soon coming of the Lord. It was that which kept the early church thriving and moving forward in spite of persecution, in spite of opposition, in spite of the naysayers. They kept on keeping on because they realized they didn't know when. By the way, we don't know when either. When you look around you, I keep asking myself the question, Lord, how can it be much longer? How can our world go much longer like it is? I don't know. God's not entrusting me with the information regarding when he's going to come. But we ought to live every day in light of the fact that he's on his way. And I used this illustration a long time ago here. Let me abbreviate it one more time. I'm preaching a revival. And it was a wonderful revival. We had a great time. It was at Liberty Grove Baptist Church near Loretta, Tennessee, and near Leoma, Tennessee. And I had gotten there early that evening to kind of prepare my heart. I parked under the shade of a tree, Roger, to kind of meditate and pray about the service. And in drove a man who pulled over next to me and said, Brother Jackie, you're here early tonight. I said, yeah, I'm here early. And he said, well, have you had supper yet? People are always concerned about my nerves. They don't realize I am a recovering anorexic. But they've been pretty good, don't you think? And he said, well, I'll tell you what, you haven't had supper. Why don't you come go home with me and have supper with me and my wife? And I said, oh, my brother, I can't do that, Sarah. I can't do that. Your wife's not expecting company. You ladies will love his response. He said, that's all right, Brother Jackie. She's always prepared for company. Your husband ever done you that way? She's always prepared for company. And so I remember going just a block down the road of where the church was, where he lived. And so I remember he went in the house to head out of the bar. I know what he was doing. He was warning her, giving her a heads up. Honey, I'm home. And then he said, almost sheepishly, and I brought the preacher home with me for supper. I don't know what he expected, but I do know what he received. He received a response from the bedroom of that house, and she said she did not know I was standing by his side. She did not know I was just stepping inside the door of the carpool. She said, I could just kill you. Of course, in Jesus' name. All during supper that night, she shot away fiery darts across the table. And I was like, "Brother, I know what's going to happen. When I get home, you're going to have to come to Jesus in your life." She wasn't ready at all, but it worked out just fine. We had a big laugh about it after all it was over. I wonder what would happen to change, or what would change in our lives if we really got to the place where, like early church, we'd pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." And we look heavenwards at the coming of our sweet Jesus and long for the day when the trumpet of God will sound and the shout of God shall echo across the heavens, and the trumpet of God will remind us the Lord is on his way. It's a time of great and glorious anticipation. Folks, if you're not looking for the coming of our Lord, if you're not motivated like you could be, like I could be, if we believe in it to come at any time, and I believe that we really could at any moment. It's a time of great and glorious anticipation. It's also a time of glorious celebration. Verse 15. This is said to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not go before or prevent or precede them which are asleep. What are we celebrating? Not only seeing Jesus, we're going to look at that again in just a moment, but seeing our family and friends that have gone before us. You talking about the family reunion. Oh my goodness. I can't imagine what it would be like to see them. And my brother had died with a brain tumor, and it finally took him on the Lord. We were standing around his bed praying for him when he took his last breath. Next time I see him, his body will be free from disease, and he has a glorified body. And I can say the same for grandparents and family and friends. And some of you, all of you who are here, have had somebody who's left and left you alone, left a void, and a vacancy and an empty spot in your heart. Cheer up. You hadn't seen them for the last time. Not if they knew Jesus, because it's a day of great and glorious anticipation. We're going to celebrate. I just believe we're going to have a show to praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, spell.
Amen.
Glory. I know sometimes when you say that, people get nervous and they think, "Well, Brother Jackie, you ought not really say that too much. Aren't you afraid things are going to get out of hand at church?" No, there's not much danger of things getting out of hand at church. Hello? Sometimes we need a good old fashioned heaven sent jostling to wake us up and remind us Jesus is on his way. Get ready! Because it's a time of great anticipation, a time of glorious celebration, a time of glorious revelation. The Lord himself shall come. I enjoy seeing movies that portray biblical themes, and I enjoy seeing those movies that portray our Lord and the disciples. But I wonder what Jesus is really going to look like. I wonder what it would be like that day when we first see him face to face and hear him say, "Well," prayerfully hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The truth is, it's going to be a glorious day of revelation. The Lord will come accompanied by a shout. We're going to be surprised. Mm-hmm. Now, little Bobby's not with us today. Not little Bobby. He's gone now. Bobby always sits right back here next to Daddy in the wheelchair. And last Sunday, I scared 5 years of life out of my head. I was out in the middle of a sermon, and I didn't step forward, just like some of you did out here. But he almost came out of his wheelchair. Now, I would think there's going to be a lot of folks going to be so taken over and overwhelmed. I was thinking a while ago, Jack, when you were singing that song, I just thought, man, what a blessing. I'd like to get happy just a little while and just say, "Lord, praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Because it's a time of glory, it's revelation. We're going to see him as he is. Sweet Jesus. A time of glorious anticipation, celebration, and revelation. The shout of God, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. It's going to be a glorious, magnificent day when Jesus comes for his bride. It's also a time not only of revelation and celebration, but just anticipation. The time of previous separation. The references in your outline in Matthew 24 tell us that Jesus used this analogy. He said, in that day that Jesus comes, there'll be two in the field. And the idea is one lost, one saved. And then he said in the same passage, two in the middle. The idea was one lost and one saved. You see, not everybody's going to be caught up in the glory. All of those who have given their hearts and their lives to Jesus. And you see, Jesus told these parables to remind us of the urgency that we make preparation, because you see, there are going to be a lot of folks left behind. Now, I don't know what all this world's going to be like. The Bible speaks of a 7-year tribulation season. The Bible speaks of a terrible time when the lost will endure. But I want to tell you, folks, we don't want to miss heaven's family reunion by putting off this thing of getting your heart right with Jesus. The most important decision you'll ever make is saying yes to Christ and opening up your heart to the worship of Jesus.
Amen.
It's a time of grievous separation. I can't imagine being separated from loved ones for a little time is difficult enough, but for eternity is unthinkable. I believe and I'm confident the Lord will so bless our hearts and minister to our needs with the company of those that are there with us, that there won't be any tears in heaven, there won't be any sorrow, there won't be any cemeteries, there won't be any hospitals, there won't be any more illness. We'll all be changed by all the sin of Christ in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Because of that, heaven's family reunion is a time for immediate preparation. Even so, therefore, watch, therefore, in verse 44 of Matthew 24, be ye ready. Let me ask you a question. We'll be done. Are you ready? Is anything left undone in your life as a child of God? You see, there's another thing that we would do well just to mention this morning, brethren. Even if you're saved, you don't need to search your heart just in order to be sure that you're going to heaven. That's important. Obviously, we ought to examine ourselves, see whether we would be in the faith. But we ought to ask the Lord, is there anything in my life you want to do before you take me home or come get me? Lord, is there any adjustment in my attitude or in my lifestyle, in my character, in my motives, in my service to you? Anything, Lord, you want to do to make me more like Jesus, to help others to come to you along the way? That's a part of what it means to be ready. But if you've never been saved, if you've never repented of sin by faith and God in Christ to become your Lord and Savior, the best thing, the only thing you can do to get ready for that great and glorious day, the only thing you can do to be able to say with all your heart, even so, come on, Lord Jesus, is to give Jesus your heart and your life as only you can. Behold, he said, I stand before him. If anybody will hear my voice, he opened to me in Revelation 3:20. I was coming unto him to die with him, and he with me. What do you need to do this morning to get ready for the coming of Christ? When's he coming? I don't know. Well, I'll say I could be much longer. The truth is, I will be ready so when he comes, to be able to say to our hearts, welcome, Lord Jesus. We've been looking forward to your coming of Christ for so long a time. Even so, therefore, be you ready. Be you ready. The heaven. Family. Let's bow our hearts together.